I don't know if I want to use the word stray, but that's the only word that comes to mind. But we're going to stray from some of the messages that God has been giving me in the past few weeks and months. And we're going to go deal with something that is basic. We're going to talk about faith this morning. And I believe there's some new little nuggets that are very important that we get a hold of. So if you would, turn with me to Hebrews 11:6. Hebrews 11:6. What I'm hoping for and what I'm believing God for and what I believe God wants to do is give us a deeper understanding and a better grasp and hold on what faith is, how faith operates, and what our mindset needs to be. Amen? And we're going to talk about things that are not faith, things that rob faith, destroy faith, and cause bondage in our lives, and strongholds, if you will. Praise the Lord. Thank you for your word, Lord. Hebrews 11:6. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder. Make a special note of that. Understand that. He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. How many know doubt is the opposite to faith? Y'all didn't know that. Okay. Somebody, one person knew it. Let me just tell you real quickly. Faith, once again, and I took a lot of this from the dictionary, Webster's dictionary, but I also took it from the concordance. This particular part is from the dictionary. Faith is a firm belief in something for which there is no proof. Did you get that? Faith is a firm belief in something for which there is no proof. Faith is when you act and operate without doubt or question. You're full of confidence, dependence, and hope and reliance in that faith and on that faith and in the one you believe in. Amen? Faith is complete trust. You have confidence. You are confident and you're secure. Did you get that? You're secure. How many know that God says there's nothing good that He will withhold from us? In Him, all the Word of God and all the promises of God are yes and amen. So be it. And we need to make that declaration every day. To believe is to consider to be true or honest. How many times have we said we believe, but yet we just kind of hesitated a minute and says, well, I think I believe. I hope I believe. And that's not belief. That's not faith. Hebrews 11:1 said, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence or proof. Let's read it that way. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the proof of things not seen. That word substance in the concordance is 5287. It's the substructure. Faith is the substructure, the foundation, the confidence, the assurance of things not seen, the things hoped for. Amen? When you build a building, if you don't have some kind of a foundation or a substructure, then you're building a house that, like the Bible talks about, when the storms come, it's going to go down. It won't stand the storm. But when you build it on the rock of Jesus, or that substructure, that foundation of Jesus, the Word of God, the work of God, the work that Jesus completed by receiving the stripes in Isaiah 53, then you're building on something that will stand the test of time and the weather, the storms, the attacks, if you will, the attacks. Maybe some of you are going through attacks right now. In fact, I know some of you are. Our mindset cannot be on our actions. It has to be on what God says, our actions or our thoughts. We're going to get into that a little bit here. Substance from the dictionary, from Merriam-Webster's dictionary, means substance is, in other words, it's now faith is the substance or it is the ultimate reality that underlies all outward manifestations and change. All outward manifestations and change. That means circumstances. That means thoughts. That means things that may try to come against you. If our faith is in God and we're trusting Him, then we know and rely. And we have that substructure foundation. And that substance is the ultimate reality. The ultimate reality that underlies all outward manifestations and change. That means anything that you see with the natural, if we're trusting in Him, it can be and is rearranged, fixed, or if you will, I'll just use the word manipulated by the Word and the Spirit of God and the truth of God. But that makes whatever you're facing, whatever it is that you've been struggling with today, it's subject to change and it is already yours according to the Word of God. It's already yours. You say, well, but you know, maybe I've done something recently that I'm not proud of or that, you know, bothers me. And the enemy's been beating you down. He's tearing you up inside because you think you've done something horribly wrong. Go back to the Word. Go back to the Word. What does the Word say? God said, I don't want any of my people to perish. In fact, He doesn't want anyone to perish. But we have the promise as His children because we know Him. We are His children, His heirs. Amen. Are you an heir of God this morning? Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now listen, here's a key found in Hebrews 4:2. For indeed, the gospel, or the good news, was preached to us as well as to them, but the word which they heard, listen carefully, the word which they heard. Now this morning you're hearing word. I believe the Word doesn't return void, and that's all I'm going to confess, is the Word does not return void. It accomplishes what it's sent to do. But when the good news is preached to you and to us, it doesn't profit anything if it's not mixed with faith. In other words, you believe that it's true. For indeed, the gospel is preached unto us as well as unto them, but the Word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. They had no faith. They heard it, but they had no faith. That doesn't mean the Word didn't take hold in their life. That doesn't mean the Word didn't permeate and take possession of them. And because of that, there was no profit or result. Right? There's no profit or result. If we don't have faith and we don't operate in faith, then we don't get the profit and result we want. In fact, we get the opposite. If we operate in faith, we get the good. If we don't, then we get the calamity. Or what it is that we're really trusting in. Are you trusting this morning in God and what He says? Are you trusting in His forgiveness? Are you trusting and believing in, and are you covered and continually covering yourself with the blood of Jesus, for which nothing can get through? I don't care whether it's a physical or a spiritual act or even a thought. Nothing gets through the blood. And the key is repentance. Saying, God, I'm sorry. Now, you may not be at the place this morning where you maybe have grasped a hold of exactly what I'm talking about. Forget that. Think about what it is that is bothering you right now, or that's been in your face, that you're struggling with, and go to God and say, God, I repent. I'm sorry for whatever it is that caused this, that I did in my life. But Lord, I thank You that Your blood covers me, and the work that You did, Lord Jesus, on the cross, when You received the stripes and the bruises, and You were beat, means I am free yesterday, today, and forever. It's under the blood. It's buried in the deepest sea. You're forgiven. The key is, Lord, I'm sorry. I repent. Don't just be sorry. Be repentful. That means turn away. Don't do it anymore. Don't let those things have a hold of your life any longer. Thoughts, emotions, lack, want. Amen? Amen. Let God be true and every man a liar. We know that means on the outside. But what about this lying man on the inside, this thing between your ears, or what the Scripture talks about as the heart of man, the mind, will, emotions, the seat of appetites? I don't care if you've committed some physical act. If you're God's child, you have the ability to go and say, God, I made a mistake, I'm sorry. And I trust You, Lord, that You're going to, according to Your word and Your promise, turn what was meant for my harm and for my destruction to Your good. And that's all it takes. If you don't, or you continue on the same vein of thought where you're beat down and oppressed, you're not walking in the fullness of God. It didn't say you weren't saved. I didn't say God wasn't still for you and He wasn't on your side. I said you're not walking in it. It takes your determination and your decision to make sure that you walk in the Word of God. And the Word of God works not just when other people pray, although it works very well then. We know that because of all the prayers we've seen answered in the church. But it works then because you yourself are standing and operating in what God says. Let God be true and every man a liar. That means no matter what the report is, no matter what the feeling is, no matter what the thing looks like, even if it's right in your face, even if it's right in your face, it's temporary. All you got to do is turn to God and say, God, I'm sorry. Can I tell you something? One of the things the enemy likes to do is beat us up with guilt for something we didn't even do. He tries to convince us somewhere in our life there's something that we need to be remorseful over or that we need to cower and hide from. No. The Bible says if you confess it and forsake it, you'll be free. Amen? Is that the word? Okay. Praise the Lord. That word mixed is 4786 in the concordance. It says, for unto us the gospel is preached as well as unto them, but the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with. And that means united or combined or commingled. Commingled with those who heard the word. The word and faith run hand in hand, coincide together. Amen? I want to tell you this morning that there's two areas of faith. One is the faith that you operate in when you're thinking the things of God, you're standing on the promises of God, when you're speaking the Word of God, and prophesying into those situations that try to come against you, try to tear you down, try to steal your joy, try to steal your victory. And then there's the faith that you operate in when you go around hanging your head down, worrying about, oh my God, I've done something so terrible. Oh my God, we're going to get caught. They're going to come and get us. Or, you know, a calamity's coming on me because I did this. Wait a minute. Which sounds like faith and which sounds like doubt and fear? Doubt can't operate without fear. So they're synonymous. When doubt comes, fear comes. But, there's no buts in God. You're not billy goats. You're God's children. The positive side of faith, or positive area of faith, is healing, peace, provision, safety, salvation, and forgiveness. The downside is calamity, loss, sickness, evil or bad outcomes or thoughts, and doubt and fear. Are y'all still with me? How many know that faith and doubt operate equally? Oh, now wait a minute. Maybe I better say that again. Did you know that faith and doubt operate equally? It's what you give place to. James 4:7 says, submit yourself therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. That doesn't just... Again, people, get a picture in your mind. If you have to close your eyes to picture this. When you submit yourself to God and you resist the devil, how do you do that? By speaking the word, by prophesying the word, by believing and trusting in the word, that foundation. The devil doesn't just turn around and walk away. He gets, if you can get a picture of a dog that's been whipped down, puts his tail between his legs, and he doesn't just walk away, he runs, terrified. Can you get that picture? By giving into doubt and fear and those things that try to tear you down, you're submitting to the devil, to the doubt and the fear, not the things of God and the power of God and the faith of God. Can we just get that down once and for all? Both faith and doubt operate on your expectation. Faith and fear operate on your expectation. What are you expecting this morning? What are you expecting in your life? Can I tell you something? What you expect is what you're going to receive. Let me ask you a question. What's one of the things that happened at the cross? Very fundamental thing that was stolen from us in the garden. And because of the work that Jesus did, that the final period was put on when He said it's finished, when He was on that cross, is the fact that dominion has been given back to you and I. Power. The Bible says after you've received the Holy Ghost, you'll be endowed. The power will come upon you. If you've got the Holy Ghost, then honey, you're not operating in hope so or maybe so. You're operating in faith, which is power. The faith is your power. Faith in what? God's promises are true. What He says is true. The work He did is true. Let me tell you, these thoughts that come... Well, I don't want to get ahead of my notes. Let me keep going. Turn with me, if you will. I'm going to read this from the Word. I didn't write it all down. It's a little bit too long to just write down. Turn with me to Matthew 14. Matthew chapter 14. We'll start with verse 24. The key verse here is verse 31. But the boat was now in the middle of the sea, and yes, I know, I can already hear it. Yeah, well, how many times you read that? We know about this. Yeah, but listen carefully, please. Don't shut me down just because I'm preaching real good, please. But the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw Him walking on the sea, they were troubled. The beginning of the problems that they would face, or the beginning of problems that could overtake them. That's a better way to put it, that could overtake them. In their eyes, they didn't see just Jesus walking. First of all, when they even saw him, they doubted in their hearts, I believe. They saw him, but they thought it was a ghost. They thought it was something contrary to God rather than part of God. A blessing sent from God. Now let me ask you a question. If God is your Father, and Jesus is your Savior and your brother, and He sent the Comforter, then what is there out there, according to the Word of God, that can hurt you? Well, if you don't believe that, then go back and read Psalm 91. He said, 1,000 will fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come nigh you. He said, only with your eye will you behold and see the reward of the wicked. What's wickedness? That doesn't just mean doing something that's against the Ten Commandments. That means operating in anything that's not faith. That's sin. But that's not the end of the story. Can I tell you, the thought is not the sin. The sin is staying in that place and not releasing your doubt and your fear to God and saying, God, I'm not going to trust this. I trust you. I know what you said. I know what you said in Jeremiah 29:11. I know what you said. And this doesn't look like what you said, so I reject it. I'm not going to go there. I'm not going to have it. When's the last time you got that tough with the things that are not from God? Or you got that tough with the things that are from God? I'm going to receive it or I'm not going to have it. And if it doesn't look like God, I'm not going to have it. If it doesn't sound like God, I'm not going to receive it. I'm not going to listen to it. I'm not going to entertain it. I'm not going to think about it. The thought is not the sin. It's not putting it down right away. Like the Scripture says, casting down vain imaginations. Bringing up all those thoughts into captivity, into the subjection and the obedience of Christ. Christ, the living Word. Christ, the Anointed One. How many realize that there, when you're in the anointing and when the Anointed One is in you or that anointing is on you, the enemy can't be around that. If you get the picture of what anointing is, when they used to anoint a king or anoint a prophet, what they would do is they would take oil and they would pour it on the top of the head, and it would run down the very head and the hair and the beard and the garments of the person that they were anointing. Covered, immersed in the anointing oil of God. Get a picture of that. When we talk about anointing, see it as the anointing oil. If you need a picture, a mind picture, then see it as the oil that's poured on you. You didn't deserve it, you didn't earn it, and you can't. It's a gift of God because He loves you. See, when we get into doubt and fear and unbelief, what that is we're doubting the love of God. We're doubting that God's strong enough to be able to do what He says He did. We're doubting that He really accomplished everything that He said He was going to accomplish and that we read as history. Not prophecy, history of what He paid for and what He suffered on that cross for you and I. And it's gone forever unless you allow it to come back in your life. Guess what? You got a problem? Don't blame it on the devil. Don't blame it on anything else except an attack. It may come be an immediate attack from the enemy, but blame it on you if it happens in your life or you begin to be subjected to or you submit to that. And that we're all in this equally. I'm not pointing a finger. We're in this equally. Amen? Are we all in the same boat? Yeah. Amen. Just like the disciples. All right, let's go on. And when the disciples saw Him walking on the water, they were troubled, saying, "It is a ghost." And they cried out for what? For fear. The opposite of faith. Doubt and unbelief. They'd just been in the presence of Jesus. All He did was let them go out, telling them, "We're going to go over to the other side." So He comes walking along on the water, and right away their mind kicks in and says, "Oh, but wait a minute, that's not possible, so that's got to be something ungodly." Oh, dear God. How foolish are we? Verse 27, "But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, 'Be of good cheer. It is I. Do not be afraid.'" If you will allow the Spirit of God to come in and take a hold of you, the Spirit and the Word, which both agree, the Spirit and the Word always agree. So that means anything that's not in line with the Word, the Spirit does not agree with, and that's where the apprehension and the butterflies and the fear and the torment in your being, inside you, comes from. Jesus took it all once and for all when He was beat with the cat of nine tails. That whip that had all of that broken glass and rocks that not just beat His back and put stripes, but ripped the flesh from His body. Faith is the foundation, the expectation of what you're seeking for. If you think your deeds and actions are going to bring calamity on you, will you listen for just a second? Will you put all that foolishness aside and just listen? If your heart condemns you, He is greater than your heart. I don't care whether it was a physical act or just something that conjured up in your mind. Many things we do are mistakes. But even if somehow we've got the impression we did something wrong, what's the answer? Oh, well, I'll just lay down and die and wallow and cry in my misery. Oh, my God, calamity's coming. They're going to come and get me. Or like the old song says, they're coming to get me and coming to take me away. Ha ha. Well, what you believe is what you receive. Thank God that there are people among us who, when we get a phone call, will stand. Maybe it's a spouse. Maybe it's a brother or sister. Maybe it's an elder. Maybe it's a pastor. When you call, they'll stand with you and say, wait a minute, that's not from God. They bring us back. If you're struggling with something today, don't sit there and allow it to go on in your life. Get rid of it. It's been paid for. Amen. It has no right to be on you. You're God's child. Hallelujah. You're His anointed. God says, don't touch my anointed. He wasn't just talking about the exterior. He was talking about the spirits of hell also. Don't touch my anointed. How many remember the stories? Or the story of the ones who got real big for their britches. Went out and saw the apostles laying hands on the sick and seeing them recover and casting out devils. Oh, well, we can do this. We'll just use the name of Jesus. And what happened? The demons came back on them. But that's because they weren't gods. If you're a child of God, He says, Jesus I know, Paul I know, and Jesus I know, and He won't say, who are you? He says, I know you too. You're a child of God. I'm out of here. What do you think you got the whole armor of God for? What's that shield of faith for? It's a shield to shield you from the attacks, the thoughts, and the obstructions that the enemy tries to put in your way. I don't care what they are. I'm going to ask you a question. Please don't answer very quickly. Make sure your heart really is in tune with this and you really believe this. And if you're not, when you say it, prophesy that you are believing that. And that is that shield of faith puts everything else out. And when you're operating in faith, that protects you from everything. And that you are forgiven. To operate in anything else, I'm sorry, I'm just going to be just bold this morning. I'm going to say you're not operating in faith. What does the Bible say about doubt? It's sin. But it starts with the thought, and the thought is not the sin. It's allowing it to stay. When you have the authority and the ability and the opportunity through the Word of God to say, I cast down those imaginations. I cast down those things that exalt themselves against the knowledge of God. What am I talking about? Maybe you did wrong. But what exalts itself against the knowledge of God is the fact that you are forgiven. You are set free. And all you've got to do, listen to me please, all you've got to do is say, Father, I am sorry. I did wrong or I made a mistake, whichever it is. I release it to you. I surrender to you what you say, and I release it. I forsake it. I put it down. I'm not going to carry it anymore. We carry things unneedlessly because I don't know, it's like we got a security blanket. We know we're all wrapped up in. We don't feel good. We don't look good. We're uncomfortable. The heat's on us. But we wear it almost like we like it. What's wrong with this picture? What's wrong with this picture? Moving right along. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it's you, command me to come to you on the water. And what did Jesus say? Well, Peter, if your faith's up there, then go ahead and come. Is that what he said? No. He strictly said, come. Because at that moment, Peter, unlike the other disciples, was not operating in fear. He may have started there. But he saw Jesus and he recognized Jesus. How many of you recognize Jesus when he's right there, whispering in your ear? Or are you still caught up in whatever it is that's trying to tear you down, steal from you, destroy you? Peter stepped out. When Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But what happened? The circumstances of the storm were going on around him. And for a moment, he took his eyes off of Jesus. And what does the Word say? But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid. Did you hear that? Immediately fear set in. Because he wasn't looking at God. He wasn't looking at what he knew. He wasn't looking at the Master, Jesus. His Master, He was looking at the things around him. And beginning to sink, he cried out. And that's the key. The key is when you begin to sink or you begin to have these things happen in your life, to cry out, God, forgive me. God, I forsake this. I don't know what it is. Lord, for my part, I repent. I'm sorry. And Lord, I reject anything or these thoughts that are causing me to lose sight of you and causing me to go down, that are robbing from me your blessing, robbing from me the peace that you've given me. Jesus is the peace that passes all understanding, is he not? If you don't have peace, then you must not be looking at Jesus or holding on to him, right? Remember that it's the thief that comes to steal and kill and destroy. Lord, save me. In verse 31, and immediately. He didn't have to wait for a response. He didn't have to pray and fast. He just cried out, Lord, save me. And immediately, Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? Jesus wasn't putting him down. He wasn't rebuking him. He was saying, as soon as Jesus took him by the hand, he was fine again. But the key is he cried out. He didn't sit there and say, Oh, I'm sinking now. I'm going to drown. Look at this storm. Oh, why did I get out of the boat? He cried out to Jesus, and immediately Jesus took his hand. Immediately Jesus took his hand. Hallelujah! If y'all won't shout, I will. But he said, Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? And all he was doing is saying, Where did your faith go? He wasn't condemning him. He wasn't rebuking him. He was just saying, Where did your faith go? I'm right here. Peter did the right thing. He cried out to Jesus, amen? That's all we got to do is cry out to Jesus. Good stuff, huh? Turn with me, if you will, to the parable of the story of the fig tree, the parable story, whatever you want to call it, Matthew 21, 21 and 22. So Jesus answered and said to them, Assuredly I say to you, if you have faith and do not doubt, you will not only do what was done to the fig tree, but also if you say to this mountain, Be removed and be cast into the sea, it will be done. And whatever things you ask in prayer believing, you will receive. What mountain are we talking about? The mountain that's affecting you right now? The mountain that may come tomorrow or that you've been operating in for a while now? Whatever it is. Whatever it is that's causing you to look away from God and feel like God's forsaken you and like you've committed some act that's so terrible that there's no way out. No way out. I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord. They're thoughts for good and not for evil. They're thoughts to prosper and not to harm you, and to give you a hope and a future. But I've done this, so my hope and future is I'm going to face the consequences of what I've done. How many know God doesn't hold our mistakes against us? He doesn't hold things against us. So no matter what you've done, God still has thoughts of good and not for evil. He didn't say, if you do everything just right, if you never make a mistake, if you never stumble, if you never have a thought that's not of faith. Did he say that anywhere? Did he say it's based on what you do or how you act or what your words are? He did in one respect. He said, if you'll repent, you'll be set free. You'll be forgiven. Amen? That's all. That's the only work you got to do. In fact, what is that work really? What is that work that we're talking about? The only work we have, and that's faith and believing. Believing is the work that we're talking about. It's not a physical act. It's not whether you did something right or wrong in the past 10 minutes, the thought or the actual deed. There is forgiveness. But I also want to touch base with you on one thing. The enemy is also the accuser. The enemy is also the liar. If God says, I didn't come and I didn't send Jesus to condemn you, if the Word says God didn't condemn you and Jesus doesn't condemn you either, because He didn't come to condemn us, then where is that nonsense coming from? Come on, say it with your mouth. Where's it coming from? From the devil. Thank you. That's the only place it can come from. Because it's anti-God. It's anti-Christ. It's almost like we get out of bed with God, if I can just use that terminology, and get in bed with the devil. Well, I'm going to believe you. I know what God says, but I'm going to believe you because that's what's right in front of my face. Dear God, bless our darling hearts and mixed up minds. Do you realize that faith activates or releases power for change in your life? Do you really understand that? No matter what the circumstances. Show me, please, somebody show me in the Word where it says any circumstance or thing that negates this Word or that makes this Word inoperative and non-powerful except your own mind, will, and emotions. Your own thinking process. The Bible tells me to put on the mind of Christ, to have the mind of Christ, to be imitators of Christ. Jesus was not controlled by or manipulated by the things of this world. He was manipulated by the Word of God and God's will and plan. That kind of manipulation is not witchcraft. That's godly manipulation. And it's not even manipulation. It's the Holy Spirit working in you, showing you, permeating your being so that you'll make the right choices. Give up those things that bring bondage, that make you feel like you've got chains around your feet, chains around your arms, amen, like you're dragging, like you've got no strength anymore. You know, oh my God. You know, it's like that missile. You see that missile when the Bible talks about the shield of faith, which is able to what? It's able to do what? Quench all the fiery darts of the enemy. But God, I got a missile coming at me. Perception. That'll get you every time. Perception. Didn't Jesus say when he got done, and doesn't the Word proclaim and tell us and record to us that what he did once for all. He did one time for all. The work is done. And what's more, it goes beyond that. It goes for all eternity. Unless you go back and wallow in the mud like the old pig. I apologize if that's too vivid. No, I don't either. God's hammering me and he's got his thumb on me, so you get to share. Mark 11:23-24. For assuredly I say to you that whosoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea. In other words, to throw or let go of a thing. Whosoever says to this mountain, I'm going to throw you and let go of you, so you're going to be cast in the sea. What mountain? I'm not talking about a physical mountain here. We're talking about the mountains that stand in your way from reaching your promised land and the promises God has given. He didn't just promise them, he gave them. You and I should be operating in them right now. If you all need to go back and get that second CD on Job from the Pastor Stan put out, then do it. If we're not operating in the blessings, then that means we're operating in sin. I mean, it's just that blunt. Blessings are on the people who are faithful and who serve God and who trust God. Don't be faithful to doubt. Be faithful to stand in faith. Be faithful to serve Him. You're a faithful bunch of people here. You are. So if there's something not going right in your life, or there's something that's causing you to be in anguish, torment, fear, taking your joy, get rid of it. Get rid of it. Cast it off today. Don't leave this place with that still on you. Throw it away and let go of it. When you throw it, let go of it. Don't have that little string like a yo-yo where you throw it out and the yo-yo comes right back. Don't let it be like a boomerang. You throw it and all of a sudden you see it come right back at you. Come on now. Some of you should be getting happy right now. Be cast in the sea and do not doubt in their heart, but believes that those things he says, he meaning mankind, does not mean a male. Means mankind. Things he says will come to pass and will have whatever he says. How many know that guilt is not your friend? How many know that guilt is a stumbling block in your life? How many know or how many perceive that what Jesus paid on the price, he took away our sin and our guilt? Amen. And whatever was written there that we were accused of and guilty of is gone like it never existed. Just like 2 Corinthians 5:17. A new species, a new being that never before existed. The old is what? Passed away. Where we struggle is we can't get past the fact that Jesus paid the price, but now I made a mistake today, so there it goes. I'm done for. Show me in the Word, please, where Jesus said, I hold all your sins against you. You're the one that holds your sins against you, or your misconducts, or your doubts and fears. You're the one who holds it against you. He doesn't. The only reason it stands in your life is if you don't go in God and say, this is what I did. I'm sorry. Father, forgive me. I confess it. I forsake it. I'm not going to go there anymore. And if there's something that's got a hold of you that you just can't seem to get free of, you need to go to God and say, God, I don't know what this is. It's not comfortable. I don't like it. And I know it's not from you. Because it's not bringing faith. It's not bringing peace. It's not bringing joy. It's bringing torment. It's destroying me. It's causing me anguish day and night. And how, can I just tell you something? One of the things we need to be aware of is when we're like that, we might just be affecting the person next to us by that too. Oh, I'm sorry. I really stepped on your toes that time. Or God did. You might be affecting somebody else. They're looking at you. If you don't feel forgiveness, how are you going to preach forgiveness? If you can't walk in forgiveness, how are you going to show somebody else the forgiveness of God? Instead of being a slave to God, you're a slave to the situation or the thoughts. Is that right? Did I say anything you can't agree with? Or that's not in the Word? Praise the Lord. Therefore I say to you, verse 24, Matthew 11:24, therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. Faith causes and brings a realization of fact and truth. Do I need to say it again? You have creative or resurrection power in the power of your tongue. But you also have destructive power in the words or the doubt or fear, or what's the opposite of faith? Doubt and fear. When you speak the word, you're speaking creative power into the universe, in your life, and so that others will see and know, and creative power in their lives because they acknowledge God is real. He's alive. Amen? But when you speak words of doubt to another, especially if you're not, it's bad enough that you got these things going on in your own mind, but you start spitting this stuff out to other people, don't you think that's the end, what the enemy wants to tear down them too? He's not just after you. He doesn't care about you. He cares about stealing the word from you, getting you to operate as a victim rather than a victor. Amen? We need to stand up every day and say, I am not a victim, I am a victor. Jesus was more than a conqueror. We're more than conquerors because we trust Him. We trust Him, not our circumstances, not situations, not things. If I see something that one of you has, and I envy you and I desire that thing, that's not God. But that doesn't mean that's the end of the story. What do I do now? I run to God and said, God, forgive me for that envy. I had envy, Lord. And I know, Lord, that your words are that you want to prosper me, keep me in health, and give me a hope and a future. And what does he say? No good thing will I withhold from you. Do you think maybe, that one of the good things that he doesn't withhold from us is relief and release from fear and torment and doubt and anguish, even in the situation where we feel. And sometimes it's feelings. There's no reality to it. The enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He comes to lie because he's the father of all lies. Lies are deceptions. Lies are misguided things that come into your truth or mistruths. You may just perceive you've done something wrong. What's the Bible say? Cast all of your care on him because he cares for you. Why do you carry anguish? Care is anguish, torment, fear. That's what care is. How many of you got too much care in your life this morning? God, by the Word and the Holy Spirit, reveals to us that, listen carefully now, that the failure in our past can and many times does. I don't care whether it's past 50 years ago or past 5 seconds ago. The failure in our past can and many times does hold us back from our future based on His plans and thoughts He has for us. You are a human being. It's your spirit that is being renewed, and your mind, which is your heart, your emotions, your will, that's being renewed by the Word. This old flesh, the Bible says, is ungodly. It's got appetites. It does things and even thinks things because of things. And again, if you listen, failure in our past can and almost always does hold us back from our future based on His plans, on the plans of God and the thoughts He has for us. That's the future that we have. Amen? Our perception of wrong that we think we have done or our mistakes we believe have been caught up in or that we believe we've been caught up in causes us many times to stumble. Stumble, what does that mean? Does that mean turn away from God? No. But what are you doing if you don't believe in Him? You are in an act of your own will turning on Him. You're choosing to believe another voice. You're choosing to hear another voice. Which voice is true? Ladies and gentlemen, family of God, church of God, this morning you need to make that determination. Which voice is true? The voice that goes on between your two little ears or the voice of God? Amen. The thought or mistake is not the sin. The sin is not believing the Word, which is the report of the Lord or His forgiveness, which comes through our repentance. Running to Him as fast as we can. Listen to what 1 John 1:9 says. If we confess our sins, listen carefully, if we confess our sins, don't cry about them, don't moan about them, don't go and tell somebody else, don't sit and weep and moan. You know, I've got a picture of somebody when they're confronted with something. And instead of dealing with it or letting God touch their life, they run back in a corner, put their face in the wall. Oh, now that does a lot of good. That demonstrates total immaturity. I'm just being honest. I'm not condemning anybody. I'm not pointing the finger at anybody. But that demonstrates total immaturity. Total lack of faith. Total lack of trust in God. Amen? 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from part of our unrighteousness. All unrighteousness. If we confess our sins to Him, not to go around and tell your neighbor I've done wrong, tell God. If we confess it, He is faithful. He doesn't run away. He doesn't shirk on His responsibilities. He doesn't shrink back. He's faithful to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, either perceived or actually committed in our flesh. And you know what? Even if we did do something wrong, if we'll confess it to Him, He'll speak to us and He'll show us how to make it right if there needs to be restitution. Otherwise, He'll take what was meant for your harm and destruction and turn it to good in your life. Is that the promise of God? Is that the promise of God? Yes, absolutely it is. Jesus took on Himself, through obedience to the Father, all our sin and disobedience on Himself and did away with it once and for all, past, present, and future. This is where our biggest struggle is, wrapping our mind around the concept and the truth. And this is where we fall short in our trusting and believing God and what He accomplished. That's where we fall short, is believing and trusting in what He accomplished and what He did and what He said. See, we still think, even if it's in the positive or the negative, that our actions still dictate whether we're saved or not. No. Can I tell you something? The Holy Spirit, the Comforter, even if you did something wrong or you're doing something wrong or you've had a bad thought, He doesn't walk away from you. He doesn't walk away from you. He comes. He says, This is my way. Walk in it. Here's the way you need to go. He doesn't throw it in your face. He doesn't accuse you. He says, this is the best way to go. And not only through that, he gives you wisdom, or he'll work supernaturally to change what would be a possible point of destruction or calamity in your life. Even if it was willful. Even if it was willful. Now, you all know you can't continue to do something wrong and expect God is going to forgive you. I believe he'll do it. But I also believe, according to the Word, there comes a point where you cross a line where God backs off. How many remember the story of Nebuchadnezzar in Daniel chapter 3? How many times did he have a visitation from God? Did he see God's hand and reality right in front of his face? And did he reject God? How many times? To the point where finally he was turned over to Satan for the destruction of his flesh so that his soul could be saved. He became as a beast in the field and ate grass, became hairy and furry. But the Bible says, listen carefully, please. Listen carefully with your spiritual ears. The Bible says that he repented from that. He turned back to God. And not only did he get restored everything he had lost, but God said his latter days were greater than his former days. Total restoration. Total reconciliation. Hallelujah. Oh, I don't know how you can sit there and not shout. Well, but he was a king and I'm not as good as he. What? Yes, you are. Amen. Good attitude. The work that Jesus did and the blood that he shed accomplish your forgiveness then, now, and forever. Because he took back the keys of death and hell and the grave and restored dominion. Get a picture of what that means. You dominate and you rule over everything. In your own power and strength, in your own wisdom, with your own thoughts? No. The way you rule over it is with the Word of God, the power of God, and the Holy Spirit. That's the way you rule. Dominion means you have power and authority. As a police officer, when you take somebody into custody, put the handcuffs on them, guess who's in control? Oh, you can try and run. You can try and hide. But you know what? When your hands are behind your back, how many of you ever tried to run with your hands behind your back? Oh, and what happens if you stumble? Your face gets planted right in the pavement. So who's still in control, even though you think you may have won the victory for a moment, a false victory? The policeman is still in control. The laws that give that policeman authority. You're the police of God. You're the ones who carry the tools, the anointing, and the ability, and the training to put down the things of darkness, the lies, the thoughts, and wrong deeds. Who do you blame if you don't? Did God's word change? Are you a special person that God says, well, I'm going to pick on you, is that all right? But it's Robin. She doesn't count. Will somebody please show me where that is in the Word? I've looked and I can't find it anywhere. It says he is no respecter of persons. Don't cry out. You know, I understand crying out and saying, God, what's going on here? Why am I going through this? Don't do that anymore. Just go to God and say, you know what, God? Somewhere I must have messed up because this is not going the way it should, and I don't feel the way I should be feeling. If you've lost your joy, if the devil has stolen from you, and you're not operating in the peace and the joy of your salvation any longer, Jesus is just a prayer away. Forgiveness is just a prayer away. Change is just a prayer away. Restoration is just a prayer away. Amen? Just a prayer away. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I've made my choice this morning. How about you? Take away this morning. Hebrews 13:8. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He does not change. He doesn't change His mind. He says the gifts and calling are without repentance. He never changes His mind. He never withdraws them. He never withdraws them. Let me give you an example. We can probably all cite preachers that we know that have gone astray, done something wrong. I want to ask you, again, don't answer quickly. Think about this. Really think about this based on the Word and the forgiveness of God. Did God change His mind about that person to call? What's He waiting for? Father, I'm sorry. I made a mistake. I confess it to You. I forsake it. And now I turn back to You. And I release it. And I release the situation in Your hands. What is God? He's a God of restoration and reconciliation. I can name some good preachers right now that we know. Some of them are back on television. Some of them got powerful ministry still. Why? Well, God loves them more than He loves me. Please. Please. No. They repented like David. And now God sees them just like He sees you and I. Not just David, but you and I. As men and women after His own heart. Ones who run quickly, repent, release the things so that we don't get caught in bondage. You can't minister when you're in bondage. Amen? What's your determination this morning? Is it to believe God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength? Is it to trust Him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength? Or are you happy living in the place where you feel frustration, fear, torment? I know better than that. I know you're not happy there. I don't want anybody in their right mind that would be happy in that place. And you know what? The other thing is, that's very selfish too. That's a very selfish thing. Because remember I told you that what you do always, I don't care good or bad, always affects other people. Always. Father tells us to honor our fathers and mothers. What does that mean? It means don't dishonor. How will we do that? By acting, operating, walking, and thinking in anything other than the things that they taught us that were right and just. Because what we do affects them. The Orientals think that when you do things that are adverse or when you dishonor, that you know, it's not only dishonor to you, but it's a dishonor to your family. Dishonored the name. Forget your family. What about dishonoring God? Ladies and gentlemen, this is not a condemning message. This is a message of hope and love, healing, restoration, and freedom. If you want prayer this morning, if you need prayer, if there's something you want the prayer of agreement for, don't walk out of here with your pride intact and don't get prayer. And if it doesn't make any difference, if you don't want to come up here, go to God. Just go to Him right where you're at. Bow before Him. Say, Lord, I release it all to You. Forgive me. I confess whatever it is, the thoughts, the actions that's bringing the calamity and the lack of peace on you. You know what? You'll walk out of here this morning free with that spring back in your step. That zeal back in your heart for God. Amen? And you'll be back in control again of the things that God has placed in your control, that dominion that He gave to mankind. Amen? Amen. He loves you. I love you. I thank God that y'all got something out of this. Not because of me, but because it was God and God's Word. Amen. Anybody who wants prayer, anybody who feels they need prayer, just one for anything, I don't care. Whether it's due to the message or due to something else going on in your life, if you need prayer, now's the time. And Father, I thank you in Jesus' name for your word. Holy Spirit, I thank you. It's not my word to perform, it's your word. I'm just the person who prepared the meal and set it before the Lord. Now, Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you that you seal it by the Holy Spirit of promise in every heart, your word, and that your word brings correction, direction, liberty, exhortation, comfort. It builds up. It doesn't tear down. And I thank you, Lord, that you've revealed to us this morning that we do have the ability to and the right to walk in your power, putting down things that would try to tear us down, bring fear and torment to us, whether perceived or real, Lord. And we proclaim now this morning that we're free in Jesus' name, that name that's above every name, and that name at which every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. Thank you. Now go with your people. Bless them, Lord. Thank you for your peace, your prosperity, your covering, your anointing being on your people, Lord. Thank you, Father, for sending Jesus. And now Jesus is part of us. And the Holy Spirit is a part of us. Who never leaves or runs away. He never leaves or runs away or forsakes us. So we thank you again. We're free. We're happy. We're at peace. We have joy in the Holy Ghost this morning. And for that, we praise and thank you. Amen. Praise the Lord. God bless you.